During my introduction, it was noted that I'm the director of Tobacco Free Mass, and Tobacco Free Mass is a policy advocacy organization. And when I first started, which was about a year and a half ago, I kept hearing that we need to examine and evaluate our cigar packaging regulation that was passed in Boston and that now is being passed in municipalities across the state. And so that is what I'm here to present on today. And we took a look at neighborhood and socio-demographic differences in sort of the impact of this policy. So we have to do the boring disclosures. I have no financial relationships to disclose. I would like to thank Mark Paskowski from the Mass Department of Public Health for helping with some of the data that we've collected, and also Jeff Chang from UMass Medical School, who did some of the maps that I'll be showing a little bit later on this morning. And this work was supported by a grant from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. So we are a multidisciplinary team taking a look at the cigar packaging policy. It's part of the requirement of the Robert Wood Johnson grant through their public health law research. And so you can see what our study team looks like up here. We have Cheryl Sabara, who will actually be joining us in the audience in a few moments. She's at the Mass Association of Health Boards. She provided a lot of technical assistance in the development of this regulation and the implementation. And then we have Wenjun Lee, Kevin Kane, and Rochelle Hayes from UMass Medical School, providing a lot of the data support. And then Margaret Reed, Nikisha Harding, and Elizabeth Russo, who are at the Boston Public Health Commission, and they're the ones who really implemented this policy, thought about how to do this policy, rolled it out, and are doing the enforcement. And then me at Tobacco Free Mass. So the reason why we started to take a look at cigar use and cigar packaging policy is that what we've been noticing is that while there have been downward trends in cigarette use among youth in our state, we've seen an upward trend in the use of cigars. And this has been concerning us, and we know that the industry targets young people with new products. In our state, you know, we have a lot of really great tobacco prevention laws and tobacco control laws, but the industry is able to circumvent those laws with some of the cigars that they come out in these fancy packaging. We've seen cigars that cost as little as 25 cents a piece in some of our gas stations and municipalities, and that's a really big concern to us. And this data sort of kind of backs up what we're seeing in the retail environment, the concerns of the tobacco industry tactics. The other thing that in pulling this project together, we looked at some Nielsen data, and what we found is that there was a 4,000% increase in a five-year period from 2006 to 2011 in the sale of grape-flavored cigars, 4,000% increase. And at the same time, there was a 0.5% decrease in the sale of regular-flavored cigars. So that's saying to us that the industry is, you know, they're working it and they're effective in reaching the market that they want to reach, which is young people with their flavored cigars. So in response to this, the Boston Board of Health passed a regulation in 2011, December, and they implemented it in February of 2012. And as I already noted, there was some technical assistance provided by Cheryl Sabara. She's a contractor of the Mass Department of Public Health. She will be in the audience later, so if you have specific questions about sort of the legal aspects of this policy, she'll be here to answer any questions that you have. Youth were heavily involved in the implementation and in the rollout and trying to get this policy passed. We actually are in the process of writing up a manuscript for publication that describes the role of youth in this policy. And a lot of outreach and education was done prior to sort of the rollout of the policy and then post-enactment. So there are over 800 tobacco retailers in the city of Boston, and Nikisha Harding was the primary person who went out and talked to every single retailer about the importance of this policy and what it entails. And I'll tell you what it entails in a second. And then there were quarterly inspections reported to the state on the pricing of the cigars. And so what this policy does is it requires that all cigars come in either packs of four and cost $2.50 when sold at retail. So it's a way to increase the price and hopefully reduce access to youth for these cigars. Our main research questions in this sort of first phase, and it's a two-phase sort of study, is to what extent are retailers compliant with the regulation, and to what extent has the regulation resulted in a reduction in cigar availability? The next piece that we will be looking at is taking Boston and comparing them to other municipalities that don't have the regulation and taking a look at their youth risk behavior survey data and their cigar use data. And the other piece will be looking at Boston pre-enactment of the policy and post-enactment. And we're working on pulling that data together now. So for this first phase, we had two different sort of methods, if you will, or approaches that we were taking. As I already noted, the Mass Department of Public Health requires all of their funded boards of health to do annual checks in every single retailer. And they randomize it quarterly. So in the first quarter, 25% of all of the Boston retailers will have a check on their cigar prices. And then in the second quarter, it's a different set of 25%, and so on and so forth, until all of the retailers are checked. And this is also stratified across all of the neighborhoods and zip codes within the city. So that was one data source. And that's a sort of a census survey, if you will, because every single retailer gets checked every single year. Those surveys were started to be conducted in October of 2011 and up through December of 2013. So that's where our data comes from when I sort of report out the results a little bit later on. And all of the data is reviewed both by BPHC, the Boston Public Health Commission, as well as the Mass Department of Public Health for quality assurance purposes. And then for us, once we received this grant, we wanted to take a look at, as I already said, you know, sort of compliance with the actual policy. And what we were hearing anecdotally is that the sticker price might say that it was $2.50, but when people actually went into the store to buy it, they were able to purchase it for a dollar or 25 cents or $2. They were able to purchase it at a lower price. And so what we decided to do to sort of check this was to send out a decoy who would go and actually purchase cigars. And the first cigar product that we looked at were Dutch Masters singles, because we had state data. That's the cigar product that they were looking at was Dutch Masters singles. And so that's what we also decided to look at. We did a round of 100, and we're finding that there was compliance, that the product was being sold for primarily $2.50, and we decided, hey, let's take more of our budget and go out and do additional checks. So we were able to get up to 297, and again, they were stratified across all of the neighborhoods. And those surveys were conducted in August and September of 2014, and Nikisha and Margaret at Boston Public Health Commission, they were the ones who oversaw the decoy going out and purchasing it, and we have a whole tool that we use when they actually went out to purchase the cigars. And again, the data was reviewed for quality assurance, both at Boston Public Health Commission and then also at UMass Medical. And we analyzed the data using STATA 13.0. We looked at price and availability, pre-post policy enactment, and we did look at other cities. So there are a number of cities in Massachusetts that have passed the cigar packaging regulation modeled after Boston, but a number have not. And so we did a little bit of a comparison that I'll report out here in a few minutes. And then we looked at the price and availability stratified by race, ethnicity, and income. And I'll be reporting out on race and ethnicity here. So the first thing that we saw is this huge difference between Boston and other cities that are pretty comparable in terms of diversity and income and education levels. And there's a statistically significant difference between Boston and all of these other cities that we looked at. So the way the regulation is written, it doesn't have to cost $2.50 pre-tax. So once they add the tax, then it can bring the price up to $2.50. So that's why you see the bar is actually below, or the line is below $2.50. That's accounting for, they're selling it with pre-tax. So this is what we found, and this was really exciting for us, to be honest, because the whole purpose of this is to reduce availability and access among young people to getting these cigars. And what we actually found is that not only were the retailers compliant with selling it for $2.50, but many of them just decided not to sell the product at all. So they just took it off their shelves. So that's an even better outcome than what we had hoped for in terms of, you know, compliance with the regulation. In 2011, it should be noted that we only had one quarter for the data, and we were trying to work with the Department of Public Health. I don't think that they have data prior to October of 2011, so there might be something kind of going on with that steep decline. But what you can see is that even still after post-policy enactment, sort of, you know, people getting used to the policy and starting to comply with the policy, you still see this downward slope of retailers selling the cigar. And so what we noticed was that there's a 60.4 percentage point decrease in availability from 2011 to 2014. So then we decided, okay, that's great, that's fantastic. Since we have a little bit of time before we present at APHA and start to talk to other folks about what we're finding, what we're learning, let's take a look at neighborhoods. So we ran the data and looked at the neighborhoods, and what we found is that pretty much all of the neighborhoods there was a reduction in the sale of or availability of the cigar, except for one, which is Charlestown, and they had an increase, which was sort of interesting. So we're going to need to do a little bit more digging into that. But overall, the neighborhood mean is a 22% decrease when you look at neighborhoods specifically. So we have a couple maps. This map is for 2012, looking at the dots represent cigar availability, and the background is percentage of a high minority population. And so you can see, it might be hard for you to see in the back, but you can see that there's sort of somewhat equal distribution of availability across all of the neighborhoods. And then when we go down to 2014, you see a lot of smaller dots, a smaller density of availability in low minority populations, like South Boston, West Roxbury, Alston-Brighton, North End had a huge decline. And what you see is in the high minority neighborhoods that the availability percentage actually stays pretty high. And so when you actually look at the numbers, what we see is that in 2012, there was comparability, and most of the, I would say there was like 40% availability overall in the neighborhoods across the city. And then when you get down to 2014, what we see is that they're in these high minority neighborhoods, so Mattapan, South Dorchester, and I forget what the other neighborhood is, I can't see it from here, that they had availability at 25%. So 25% of the retailers in the high minority populations were selling these Dutch Master single cigars. And the average or the mean for the other neighborhoods, for low minority neighborhoods, was 7%. So there's a huge difference, huge disparity that we're going to need to take a further look at. So the results, so going back to, and looping back to what our research questions were, which is, you know, has this, has there been compliance and has there been a reduction in availability? And what we see is that, yes, there is compliance because the price of Dutch Master singles went from $1.26 to $2.50 on average. The sticker site price and the actual sales price were consistent between the two, which was one of our sort of concerns and hearing anecdotally that people were able to buy at a lower price. And availability of Dutch Master singles decreased by 60.4 percentage points. But looping back to the disparities, what we're seeing in the high minority populations and high minority neighborhoods, there's something going on there. And what this tells us is that this might be an opportunity for the Boston Public Health Commission to use resources in a way that's strategic. Instead of, you know, sort of doing education on cigars and youth access across the whole city, they may just decide to focus on these three neighborhoods that still have very high availability relative to the rest of the city. And I already talked a little bit about the limitations. One of the limitation or thing that might be going on, when the decoy went into one of the stores, he went in and asked for a single cigar, and there weren't any singles being sold, but the retailer went over and broke up a package of four and sold it to him singly. Now, he still sold it at $2.50, so there still was compliance with the regulation, but who knows what's going to happen, you know, who knows what's really happening in the retail environment. You know, this was just 297 stores that we went in August and September, but so there's probably still some opportunities to dig deeper into this. And I think I already kind of covered all of this. So that's it. And we're taking questions at the end, right? Okay, great. Thank you.